We're looking this morning again back to submission and authority. Well, the last time we were had finished up in teaching on the, we were looking at the areas of submitting government authorities. We had talked about, we looked at some examples last week of Jesus and Paul in situations and in Peter. We looked at situations dealing with submission and how you do that and what they did in situations. And so, just as examples. And we won't go back into any of that today. We're going to go on into an area. We're going to look at dealing in areas to submit to, and dealing with areas like who do we submit to and what do we submit to. We're going to start first looking at children learning to submit to parents. And this is really, this is a key to is for people, and especially today. This is, if submission is taught when somebody's young, oh my words, it'll change the life of a person. And it is what happens today is what's a sad part is we're taking people already grown and what they've already been set on a path. Now you're trying to teach them certain things. I found this in my Christian walk. When I got born again, I was 30 years old, but I had rejected the Christianity that I was raised under before I ever got saved. I rejected that. I didn't have nothing to do with that. So when I got saved, I didn't realize at the time, but it was a really benefit to me that I rejected that. But I found people who have been saved and brought up under religious things for a long time. And when somebody finally begins to teach them, and I saw in the charismatic renewal, what happens when the truth started to be taught about certain areas that weren't taught to these groups, they had a terrible hard time leaving certain things and going on because this had been ingrained in them, certain ways of teaching. So, you know, it was hard for them. For me, there was a lot was easier to receive because I had rejected. But people who believed what they were taught, it gets harder. And one of the things that I saw is what people would get new revelation, but they would just incorporate it into their old revelation. If their old revelation was wrong, they would have a mixture. And so you'd have all this mixture of stuff. They didn't throw out certain things, and so it was more difficult. So when you get people today who haven't been taught submission, they haven't been taught this, and they grow up, and they get older, and this hasn't been ingrained in them, it's very difficult for them to change. You're going to have to just do some willful setting yourself on a course to make changes about things. And so one of the things that I was really grateful for was there's areas of submission that my parents were just downright correct on and teaching as a child, which did really help me a lot and help me following certain paths in life. It was much easier on me because of being taught that. I remember because, you know, being taught submission as a child, when we talked about this before, when I went in the military, it was not as hard for me as it was for other people because we were taught, you know, you were supposed to listen to the guy's charge. And that ain't today at all. I mean, nobody has to listen to anything. And when they're taught that, you know, this is one of the things as America is bringing judgment on America is because of this. So we're going to look at some things. I want to go over and starting, yes, in submission and looking at Jesus. In Luke, the second chapter, we're going to see Jesus as a child. I want to find out about him. It's a story. I don't know how much it's been used or it's been taught, but I think most of us have heard it already and that stuff. When Jesus, in Luke, the second chapter, I'm going to start in verse 41. Speaking about Jesus, it says his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days and they returned, the boy, Jesus, lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, so this we find, what happened was, here's they left, Jesus stayed. Now, people would consider this disobedience. You know, he turned his parents left, he's 12 years old, and he stayed there. You know, hey, hold it, this is the Christ child, you know. and he stays there. And think about this. It was 3 days before they found him when they got back to Jerusalem. It was only the third day that they found him. this is one thing, because there's sort of two sides we can learn from about Jesus, and we can learn from about Joseph and Mary something here on them. But it says, and when they saw him, it says they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. It says, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" It says, but they did not understand the statements which he spoke to them. Now, he asked them a question. They said, understand this. Number one, this shows the humanity of Jesus, that he wasn't operating as God. He was actually a child. He was actually a human child. But he had a revelation of who and what he was in the earth and what he was supposed to be doing in the earth. He knew that. He assumed that they would know this, and they didn't. Personally, I believe they could have known and didn't, because they probably never asked. You know, it's interesting because it says they didn't understand the Sarah. It says that they went down with them, it says, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. He came down, but his mother kept all these things hidden in her heart. She kept them hidden in her heart. You know, we think about it, she kept them hidden in her heart. Why did she keep them hidden in her heart? Why? What was the purpose of keeping it hidden in your heart? You ought to be questioning this thing, asking God about it. See, there's a couple times it says about Mary hid these things in her heart. She hid them in her heart, but she never asked questions about it to get the answers of why. I think they could have known more about their son than they did. I mean, Mary was ignorant. Let's just think of this. The disciples knew he was the Messiah, and she, in one instance, showed up with her other sons to take Jesus away, thought he was crazy because he was operating in the ministry, healing all these people, and all these people were against him and that kind of stuff. And she went down to ask him to come home. Now, how could they have a revelation that he was the Christ, and she was told he was, and she hid it in her heart? But what good does it do to hide it in your heart and not walk in the light of it? And I think from this incident, they didn't know. He assumed that they would know this, that he wasn't being disobedient. He isn't trying to be disobedient to his parents. But it says about this, he went back when he found out. When he found out their lack of knowledge, he just submitted to what they wanted. He submitted. He didn't try to say, "Well, I know more than you guys, so I don't have to submit to you," because it says, but they didn't understand it. He said he went by, he was subject to them. It says in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in the favor of God and men. So he went back in subjection to them because they were his authority over him. So he was. Now, the 20th century New Testament says in verse 51, however, he went down with them to Nazareth and submitted himself to their control. And his mother treasured all these that was said in her heart. She treasured it, but not finding out, it sure seems that they would, asking God about this, get some information about their son. But there's one of the things, we found out that he learned through the things that he learned really through the things that he suffered. Remember we talked about that last week, his suffering, and sometimes it suffers to go, what it takes to dealing with your flesh and dealing with stuff here is a submission to the things you suffer. And he really did, because he knew what his call was. He's up there, he assumed they would find him out about his father's business. Isn't it funny, the third day they went to the temple, they hadn't done that before. Isn't that amazing? They're looking for him every place else. They think he's like normal 12 years old. You think he would have probably figured it out, but now that this kid ain't like everybody else. Especially, what God had done in his birth and everything else. You'd think there would have been a light on upstairs. It's amazing. This is one thing is you find some, I find this, people have this idea because, I've known people that have had visitations from the Lord and everything else and stuff. But you know what? They go off and live in their life like they never had a visitation from the Lord. Oh, they'll tell you about their visitation with the Lord, but they live like they never had one. It's amazing. So, but that somebody would have one. But we're dealing in this area of submission. So Jesus, as a child, submitted to authority. That's what he submitted to the authorities over him. Now, his authorities over him were ignorant of a lot of things about him. And really, knowing the will of God, he knew more about it than they did. So see, he didn't say, well, I know more than them, so I don't have to submit to them. I'm smarter. You see, it's today is the idea, young people, we ought to submit to our elders because we're so much smarter. Well, that's a problem. And here is the great problem with it. Why do we have the problems in our generations today? This is the problem. Here's the answer in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, tells us what happens to children who are disobedient to their parents. What happens to them? Now listen. Ephesians 6 chapter verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's a commandment to do it. Now this is written in the New Testament. This is one thing that we have. So see, people say, well, we're not under the law anymore and under the commandments. The apostle Paul just wrote that this commandment stands. See, these commandments have never changed. These commandments are always and will always be the same. They will never change. They will never change. And so they stand. He said it's a first commandment with a promise, and the promise here is that you honor your father. So the first commandment promise. Why do you obey this commandment? That it may be well with you. Now, number one, that it might be well with you. So if you want life to go with well, you start off in obedience to submission and authority. Why? And you may live long in the earth. You know, there's people who die, not as a child, people die early in life because they have not learned to submit, and they end up, it takes your life. Submission will extend your life. It'll extend it. This is part of divine health. People don't understand us. See, people divine help, well, I'm just believing God. Yet they never have learned to submit to authorities and submit where they're supposed to. They never learn any of that. And they're walking around saying, I believe all this stuff about healing, and I believe this, and why is this happening to me? Because that ain't the only thing. Just believing the word on healing is not enough. Healing in itself is good to believe, but if I'm not going to do the other, this command tells you, if you want to do well in life, and you want to, over here in the area, live a long life, you must learn this area of submission. So it'll go well with you. So that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So people's lives get shortened because of this problem. Why? Because of not following the commands of God or the word of God. What happens? We open the door to demonic powers to be able to do things. And understand this, people, I find this people all the time say, well, you know, my kids won't listen to me, or this or that, the other thing. Well, did you listen to your parents? Well, no, I didn't listen. Well, you reap what you sowed. In other words, this passes on from generation to generation. People don't, they don't teach their children don't submit to them. It just goes down the line. My kids, I taught them what my parents taught me. My kids used to say, well, the other kids don't have to do this. And I say, yeah. No telling what's going to happen in their life, too. No telling. They don't have to do it. I tell them, say, it don't matter. You know, and we got to learn this thing. So children need to be taught in these areas. Understand this about children. This is what they don't, what people don't realize. As we as Christians, now, it's kind of hard with the world to do this. The world used to teach it, you know, and there's parts of it they can. But generally, people don't understand. We're spirit beings, and children, especially Christians, should understand that their children are spirit beings, not just physical beings, that they're spirit beings. They have a spirit. You know, the life of the body is the spirit, the Bible says. You know, the body without the spirit's dead. The spirit leaves the body. The body's dead. I mean, its function is of no use. Children, just as adults are, were created to reign and rule in life. That's what they were created for. And people have to get a hold of that and realize is what you're what you have there in that little package, that kid. And they're designed to reign and rule. And if you got to learn to do that. We learned early, and I thank God I got born again. My kids were little. We learned to teach our children spiritual principles. We learned to get in to minister to their spirit, not just to their try to do their flesh and mind. We learned. We taught them how to do things spiritually. Our kids learned spiritually. They learned how to operate in faith. They learned how to believe God for things. They learned how to use their faith for things and believe God. We did some things and taught our children things. But they're created to rule and reign in Christ. So their faith will determine the amount of word that's put into them. So you want to teach them faith, and children can be taught. In fact, in some areas, children can be taught very easily how to operate in areas of faith and trust in God. They can be taught very easily in those areas, can do that. And so we should be working in that area. It's another thing is we need to teach children from the standpoint. I watch these people that are always trying to explain everything to their kids. Why? You know, why? And I'll tell you what, a parent is not being weird when they say, you don't need to know why, you just need to listen. Because sometimes that's exactly because, number one, if you as an adult don't learn that, it's going to shorten your life. Because God will tell you to do things sometimes and will not explain it. He just expects you to obey. He had to deal with me on that. You know, I wanted it easier on my flesh because he wanted me to do something, and I said, one day he's going to like that. I said, you need to talk to her. And he said, I ain't talking to her, I'm talking to you. He said, you going to obey me or her? What are you going to do? I said, well, you put it that way. So I might have to put up with some friction sometime because I obey. But you know what? Wanda needed to learn to submit, learn that her husband can hear from God. And that's what he was trying to teach her in submission. See, I didn't view it at the time. I didn't want the discomfort. But he was trying to teach her to submit, that she'll learn that you can hear from God and she'll learn to submit. And you know what? Through those things, Wanda did learn. Where I could turn around and say, I felt the Lord telling me to do such and such. She'd say, yeah, go ahead. Because why? She saw the outcome. And so, see, today we have all this, the false teaching of, husband and wife have to be in agreement all the time. And, you know, so they carry it over now, the kids. Everybody got to be in agreement, family. It ain't happening. You'll never obey God trying to get everybody in agreement. It won't work. Because people are all going to have to be on the same spiritual level. When's that going to happen? Well, I mean, it's an impossibility because just like your children, they're born as children in the home, and they sure don't know spiritually the things that probably the parent understands. So how? And you just can't up and tell them, and they just understand just because you said it. So they need to learn to submission. And I found out leaders over me. You know, I learned with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin would teach things sometime, and man, my mind would just go tilt. I'd think, I don't get it always. I don't know if that's true. But I learned this. I'd say, well, he knows more than I do about this subject. So I can't receive it and act on what I don't believe. But Lord, you'll teach this thing to me, and I'm not throwing it out. I'm not saying he don't know. I don't get it. And I would just, Lord, you know, one of those things is ponder on. Over time, the revelation would come to me of that thing. And after a while, I'd say, oh my God, that's exactly right. Oh, I see what he's talking about now. But see, that was submission. Submission is, he knows, I don't. If he don't know, I'll find out. We're going to find out one way or the other. But, you know, don't throw it out. See, I see people, and a guy comes along and says something they don't agree with, and so they throw everything out. They just throw it all away. Well, they didn't know this. So you don't do those things, you know. They're an authority. And listening to those authorities and stuff It makes wonderful sense to just hook up to the truth, follow the truth. But a child doesn't have to know anything. We need to teach children, because children have to learn to operate in things in the submission and not just agreement. Most people today only operate in agreement. I will only go in what I agree with. You know, I don't care what the authority says. I remember, you know, places I've worked at in my life, and I watch you always running those people. And they never do well where they work because they're always in opposition. I don't believe it ought to be done that way. So they're bucking the system all the time. And then they wonder why they don't get promoted. duh. Okay, though. A police turns around, hires them, tells them what the rules are. They agree the rules, and the first thing they do when they get in, they start breaking the rules, and they don't go along. They don't submit to the authority. They just said they would, and they don't submit to it. Like my dad said, if you don't like it, you leave. You went to them for the job. They didn't come to you. And if you don't like it, what they do, you leave. Go start your own place and make your own rules. And sit there and fight them all the time. And that's what people do. Sit there and fight them all the time. It's like, you don't do that. Because number one, it don't go well with you. And it will open the door to the devil to get in on things. It does. Sometimes, like I said, God will tell us to do things, and we don't necessarily know all there is to know about it. Sometimes we don't find out till we step over into things and find out about them. But we have to walk by faith. And sometimes faith could be a limited amount of information, but God expects us to do what we know. When I did what I know, I can't go beyond that, so if He wants me to do more, He has to give me revelation. But He does expect me to walk as far as I do understand. So we need to just do that. People should not expect Christians, and I shouldn't say people, but I mean, just should say, Christians should not expect their children to be like other people's children. This one thing is, we always expected our children to be different than the kids who didn't come out of Christian families or nominal Christians who were just, you know, we got saved and just whatever. I never expected my children to turn out. We didn't have a lot of the problems that a lot of people went through with their kids because of what we put into them when they were little. And they didn't go. I mean, just like people talk about high school. Oh, well, you know how they are when they get to be teenagers. No, I don't know what you're talking about, how they got to be when they're teenagers. You know, our children got to be really good at distinguishing for themselves without us saying it. We didn't have to tell them who to hang around with. When they were young teenagers, they already knew people. This person ain't good to hang around with. I remember Elena in high school. She had some friends. They weren't Christians, but they would go do things together. But they would get over and start doing certain things, and she'd tell them, say, look, so you guys doing this stuff. I ain't hanging around with you no more. That's it. You know, she would have like ones and sometimes guys that she would date. They were just friends that go on a casual date. They would go somewhere. But she'd always tell these guys, you know, you don't do this and you do that. If you don't, you know, I don't go with you no more. She was just very blunt with them about it. We'd have to sit down. I never wondered about her going doing something because she always used good sense. She did. But we put it into them, their little, because we put in their own safety of their own life and their own blessing. And they learned early how God would bless them walking. They learned how to walk in places of faith, and they saw how their faith worked and what God would do for them. They didn't want what the other kids had. They didn't want. They saw that this thing worked. They saw that this stuff would pan out if you did it. And so they walked in it. And they were really good at picking out people and saying, hey, you don't mess with that person. Just stay away from that individual's over here. That they're doing this. We ain't. Lena was really voiceful about the people. She'd just tell them. We were at a couple, and they were in a ministry in a large church. They were children's ministers in a large church. They oversaw, I mean, probably 300 or 400 kids in a children's ministry that all told. They oversaw. They had a son who is the devil incarnated. And the reason he was, because they didn't discipline him. He was a little he was a heathen, and he grew up. He ended up getting kicked out of their Christian school. He ended up going to a regular high school. They kicked him out, sent him to another school. He got kicked out. They let him live at home. He's in his late teens. He's living at home, acting like hell and that stuff, you know. So we were at a dinner one time, and this son was along at this dinner. And Elena was with us. And Elena's cute, you know, and stuff. And he asked her for a date. And she just rat out bluntly in front of me, I would not go out with you on a date. The devil does nothing to you is to try to destroy your parents. She said, I wouldn't go out with you for nothing. He was like in shock. She just blunt with him and told him. She was more honest with him than their parents had ever been with that boy. And they didn't realize they were just a huge amount. They were always, well, These other kids influence him. He was the ringleader. He was the ringleader, and they were the idiots. They, you know, in some ways, they were like my mom. My mom never wanted to admit the trouble that we got into. She would always know. We never did that, or somebody else, or something. She would never, you know. So it was always somebody else's fault. Or something. She would do that. But that was no good for us. You know, and that's one thing is you have to, parents need to be realistic concerning their children. Because you can't help them if you don't deal with truth. If you won't deal with the truth, you're not going to be ministering truth to them. You're not going to do it. You have to do it. You know, sometimes you got to look at your kid and say, you know, you're a problem. But if you realize that, it isn't to turn around and degrade them, but you got to teach them in the right direction. But if you keep making excuses for them, you'll lead that child off in a direction that's going to hurt that child. Going to grow up wrong. And but if you, one of the things that is, it's much easier, and I saw with, thank God, because I do feel sorry, because there's people who get born again, their kids are already pretty grown, and that's difficult for them. Lots of times that change in life is very hard. All of a sudden, they're running through real difficulties. They got kids who have been raised as heathens, and they get saved, they're moving toward it. These kids now, they're operating in their flesh, and man, they want to do that, and they're trying to make these changes. And there you, boy, you really need God's help. There's where you need grace big time is working at. Because that'd be very difficult. You know, that's very challenging for people. You know, we have some people in our congregation that they got really saved. Or they were maybe saved as kids and nominal Christians in life. And then they found out about the truth of all this stuff and other kids have grown. And we have ones, and they've had very difficult times with their kids as being older. Trying to, and I sympathize with them. That's hard to... That's tough sledding. That's like trying to sled, you know, get an inch of snow, don't sled good, you know, and just don't. And that's what it's like. It's like you got it out, you got enough to you can go along a little bit, but not enough to do anything fun. They're in that camp. So people get in that place, but especially if you have the opportunity to teach them spiritual things when they're young, because you do start off when they're young. Most people wait way too long. I know people made statements to us sometimes that because of dealing in areas of correction our kids, oh, you know, you need to lighten up a little more about, no, you deal with them when they're young what you want. And when it gets old, it's very easy for them. We had to do very little punishment with our kids. You know, we didn't spank our kids very often. When they needed it, we did, but they didn't often have to do that. They learned over time. Of things, and they learned when we said things, it was time to straighten out. They learned, so you didn't have to do that. You didn't go up. We didn't have all this fussing and fighting. I never allowed the fussing and fighting in the house. I never allowed that. I never allowed the kids to sit around and do that. They did. Man, Dad was hard to live with, and it was much better straighten out than have Dad hard to live with. It was much better. It's just, you know. Okay, so you'd have those, but is children learning to do that, teaching children? But people shouldn't, Christians shouldn't have that expectation. If we have a higher expectation concerning our children, whatever expectation people set for kids, I have kids, all the Christian parents and even spirit-filled people say, well, you know, when they get older, they're going to do this. They're just going to go sow their wild oats and they're just going to, hold it. That's a good world statement. That's what your faith's at, and it'll happen. Because your faith is for your kids to do that. And you'll start teaching them to help them do that. You'll send them in that direction. It's like, no, you don't need to help the devil anymore. Now, we need to know this because, you know, even though we're children, we train them right. But we understand this. They do have a free will of their own. And sometimes they'll make the wrong decision. They will do that by their own free will because they do have a free will. You know, our kids were not perfect by no means, but I tell you, we could eliminate a lot of problems. It's just like if we would take as kids growing up, we didn't have a household that was crazy. My parents had 10 kids, but we didn't have a household you couldn't stand to live in. So teaching things properly does make a huge difference. I mean, we as kids, we definitely did some things wrong. But man, what people, kids do today and things crazy today, it's like, wow. I mean, parents' whole lives are governed by their kids. Their kids determine their whole life. Their kids determine all the activities they're going to do, and the parents follow the kids and all the stuff the kids want to do. And the parents just submit to everything under the sun. And the parents are worn out. They're going to work, running here, running there, doing this, doing that. And it's all these things for their kids. And oh, we want to have this rounded life. It's no rounded life. The life is rounded where the parent has learned submission to the child. And the child does what they want. Yeah. And there's no submission taught in those things. And you can't blame the children. Kids don't know. They're going to follow what you let them to do. Keith Morris said, if you deal with a child's flesh, there won't be so many devil problems. I understand, because there's satanic influence, and they'll try to influence children. You know, I see homes where the devil is in the home through the kids, and the parents have not taught submission to it, and life is hell. And it's all operating, demonic powers operate through the kids that make everything crazy. Parents don't understand it. Demonic powers get to operate in the house, and they rule and reign in there, in that place. Now, we're going to go to the Book of Wisdom. Do you know what book that is? Proverbs is the Book of Wisdom. But, understand this, most of Christianity doesn't use this wisdom we're going to read, because it's not wise anymore, because the world has told us how we're supposed to raise kids now. So this is not wisdom and it's not wisdom to the majority of the church. Most ministerial leaders will not follow this. But it's in the Bible. This is either God's word, or Solomon was just making things up and he had a little bit too much to drink or something. Yeah, that's right. He had weird mushrooms on his pizza and he could be. I don't know, or some kind of buds or something. Something happened. But in Proverbs, the 13th chapter, now listen, here's the script. This is scriptures. He who spares his rod hates his son. Listen to that. 13:24. Now listen to that. He who spares his rod hates his son. Now, is that truth or not? We have to decide, is that the truth? But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So, if you love your child, you do it promptly. See, here's one of the things, is don't hold punishment back for a long period of time. Don't do nothing. In other words, don't delay. When it's fresh in a child's mind what they did, it is the time, that's when you punish them. Punish them when it's fresh in their mind and it's fresh to you. But it's to both, and you do it promptly. Keith Moore said this, if you spank them, they'll learn to tell the devil no. You know, it's one thing about yielding to certain things. You yield to a certain thing. If you learn there's pain involved in being yielded to it, good chance you're not just going to yield to it. If a child yields to something and finds that there's no pain to it, they get to do it, then they'll continue to go back to do it. Now, that doesn't mean every little thing you give them a whooping, but there's things you need to teach children not to yield to, and you get spanked for it. They need to learn those things. If they don't, you're going to have problems. But we find out here, if a person will not spank their child, give them a paddling, they hate them. Ain't nobody ever going to tell me. I had a person tell me about them loving the kids, they don't spank them. And I just don't mind telling them. I look them right in the face, say, you're a liar, you don't love them. I said, God said you don't. Now, who you going to believe? You or a God? Well, you ain't got a chance for me in believing. You don't love them. If you love them, you discipline them promptly. And we learned this with a child. I learned. Yes, one thing is, I was really glad, and really, I learned from my father. When it came to discipline, I had much more respect for my father than my mother as a child. And the reason I did is, Mom, many times I let things go. I knew with Dad, he said, no, you just know. And that was it. That was it. Because Dad was a one-man, one-word no, and that was it. Dad wouldn't say no again. It wasn't he was mean. Dad would just say no, and you went and did it. Dad'd give you a whooping. Or he would do something. He would do something to punish you. And I can't remember, I don't remember my dad beating me a bunch or anything like that. I remember a few times my dad paddling me, but I remember they were rememberable moments. And in those moments, I thought, well, we don't cross this line ever again. This is too painful. And if you're going to do it, you don't want ever dad to know. So you make sure if you do it, he will never find out. Because if he does, oh my God. My dad could whack you with his hand. I mean, it hurt. I mean, dear Lord, he could whack you. And he'd whip our butt. He wouldn't smack us on the heads or doing anything like that. But the posterior felt pain. I tell you what. It got across to us. Well, I thought he was a hard guy, but really, as I went on in life, that discipline was a good thing. But I practiced that with our children. I learned to practice that. I learned to do those things. Is you had to, especially with children. And especially, they won't yield to their flesh and they won't yield to demonic powers. Yeah, other influences. Most people today, you tell them their child is yielding to demonic powers, most Christians would hate you. Because, you know, this devil stuff, most Christians don't even really believe in. Well, I ain't influenced by them. I've had Christian ministers tell me that they ain't influenced by devils. And I thought, it's exactly what's going on right now in your belief. You're influenced, whether you know it or not. But their stupidity is to think they can't be. It can be influenced. And I have to, that's why you have to always keep yourself, control yourself. You always have to watch. You don't get yield to things. So we want to teach them not to yield to things, to their flesh and to the devil. You want to teach them. And if we learn to spank them when they need it, you know, spanking a child's going to lead them to do violence. Well, we have a nonviolent generation, don't we? All these nonviolent kids, don't we? You don't spank them. We don't spank them in school, you know what? And completely nonviolent. They don't bring guns to school and never shoot other kids. Nonviolent. Oh, we don't have any violence here. So they know this is a nonviolent place. Kids don't beat each other up and bully each other in schools anymore, do they? Nice, wonderful place out there because we're nonviolent. So now the devil gets carried all out, all he wants, and make it worse because of the demonic leaders who yield to the devil and don't obey truth. Obey the truth. Now, in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, it has other things to say on this subject. Now, we're going to look at this in verse 15. This is God's opinion. It says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Did you hear that? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Well, my child, my child has no foolishness. Now, you think and look at children. Don't you do the most foolish? I think about when I was a little kid, some of the most foolish foolishness. You know, you don't see, when you're a little kid, you don't see the danger in certain stuff and doing different things. You know, just like a little baby will crawl across the floor and pick up a spider and eat it. You know, it's just, you know, we're just geniuses. I was a genius. We never did that. Nah. But the things that people, you know, I see Braden sometimes. I see, understand foolishness within him. He doesn't understand the dangers of certain things, of how he could get hurt. He was going to try to slide, you know, they turn around, go down the belly on the steps, you know, and they'll slide down on their belly. He wanted to do a head first job. Hold it, don't do it. Ward was there, we're brain, stop. Don't do that. Don't do that. Why? He gets on a sliding board and he does that. Stairs are another subject with a wall down at the end. You know, he's not thinking, he's a child, you know? He said, we're going to test this out. We'll find out whether it works when we hit the bottom, okay? Said, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And what will get, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Did it say, just praying for your children will? Just talking to them will? Seems God has a different opinion. Said the rod of correction will drive it far from him. There's things need to be driven out of a child. And punishment, corporal punishment is one of the things that will do it. That's why the courts should have never gotten rid of corporal punishment. America should never get rid of corporal punishment. They should still do things of whipping people, caning people, doing things. Corporal punishment should still be done. It would drive things out of people. They wouldn't do it no more. Because of non-punishment, you can't lock a man in jail and then that's going to keep him crying. We wouldn't have 86% 86.6 or something like that percent return rate if what we're doing would work. They say the United States has more prisoners locked up than any nation in the world, and population-wise, you know why they don't? All these other nations use corporal punishment. People don't want to go back to jail. America, do the crime, go back to jail. They'll treat you good. I can learn to live there, you know. Ay, ay, ay. Now, we can go to the next chapter, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. More on the subject. 23, 13, 4. So it'd be one thing if we found one scripture said that, but now we got two. Now we're going to go on here. And there's two more scriptures tied together here. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him, beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Do you know there's children that are going to whose Christian parents are going to have their children end up in hell because they did not teach them to submit to authority? They will learn to be disobedient and rebel against authority, and they'll eventually rebel against the authority of God. And they'll rebel against it. I'm going to tell you, I take this stuff seriously. If this is the truth, you could deliver someone's soul from hell. Hell's dominating young people today because they have not been dealt with. They didn't kill us in school when they gave us swats. We didn't have one person die. We didn't have one person even end up hospitalized or have to go to the doctor because they got their... Well, they only ever smacked us on the butt. And it was painful. I had it a couple times. I must admit, I needed it at the time. At the time, I didn't think I... But I look back and say, yes, they did the right thing. Because I think Dad would have been worse on me. You didn't get no help tell Dad you got swats. Today, if a kid got swats in school, he'd run home and tell his parents sue the school and all kind of stuff, and he'd want to fire everybody in the school and everything else. And they would help the child continue his evil life. Parents are the greatest instigators of evil in this world. Parents are most of the problems with their children, and they are, whether they realize it or not. I had made mention about this before, but I was watching on TV one time and listening to a doctor who has, they call him the foremost guy in clinical in this, what, ADHD or whatever it is, and these different things. Anyhow, his clinic, he's the foremost professional on this thing, on examination of children concerning this and all this. And he heard him say with his own voice, he said, the majority of children who are diagnosed with this syndrome that are sent to me, the majority of them do not have this problem. He said their only problem is, he said, they've never been corrected their behavior. He said theirs is behavioral problems. It is not this problem. He said the majority, well, we know this, the majority of behavioral problems today are said to be that. I know my wife deals with it in school. It's just bad behavior. But they have, oh, give them drugs. You give them a drug because they have this syndrome. Yes, they have yield to the devil syndrome and follow anything your flesh wants. And they're taught it at home. And everybody, what do you do with them? Well, I'm going to tell you what to do with them. I tell you, it's absolutely amazing. I can personally tell you this to myself, have experience. We have had children come to our home and ready, and their parents can't get them to listen, but I can. Because I don't put up with their junk. And I tell them, and they'll go sit down. And they're startled that somebody is mad at them, and somebody won't put up with their junk. And it's amazing. The syndrome goes away just like that, and they go sit down. I had a minister one time. We lived in 321 Canal Street. A Rhema graduate came with him and his wife and two kids. And his kids would not leave nothing alone. They wouldn't leave the stereo alone. They went into everything. You know? And he sat there, and now boys don't do this, man. Wanda was trying to keep his kids away. Finally, I stood up, and I walked over, and I grabbed the boys. And I said, you get over there, and you sit down. And I said, if you move, I'm going to take your daddy and throw his rear end out of my house. Okay, boys, let's sit down. Let's sit. Because I knew it. There's the problem. Went to somebody's house doing that. Wanda, you going to sit around chasing somebody's kids because they're heathens? They It's amazing how those kids would listen once they found out there was somebody who didn't want them. It's interesting. If years ago, Wanda used to babysit her brother's son. So it was her nephew. And when he was with Wanda and the girls, he's absolutely fine. As soon as his mom would come to pick him up, it was like throwing a switch on that kid. Nothing but trouble. Nothing but. He didn't do this stuff when we were around. Why? Because we didn't put up with it. He knew it. Today, most children are at least twice as smart as their parents. Because their parents think their kids are just these, they have this whole idea about their children. They're so stupid about their children. They don't understand that the kids have them all figured out. The kids have become little psychologists, and they know how to push all the buttons on these parents and do all, they know how to do it. They're geniuses to their stupid parents. But their stupid parents never figure it out. They never figure out they're controlled. You know, and they don't learn that. But that boy would be fine with us. Because when he did something, we got on him about it. So he learned. It was real good. But he knew as soon as mom come home, you don't listen no more. His mom come and pick up. She knew she'd sooner get in that door. And it was like little Frankenstein come out. Well, now he's talking about it. It's amazing. She's like a flesh switch got thrown. And he'd just be back talking and doing all kinds of stuff to her and doing things. And just, and don't do it to me. Don't bring him to my house. I put you and your kids out. You come to my castle, it stays my castle. It don't become yours because you visit. My God. If we would have done things like that when we were kids, went to somebody's house, my words. You'd never want to go home. You'd run away because you wouldn't want to get to the house.
Well, you probably got it when you went in the car. It wouldn't have made it that long.
If my dad would have had to been told about us. Oh, my God. Oh, but, you know, I tell you what, I thank God because I tell you, life has became easier because my parents dealt with stuff and things they wouldn't put up with. And it was, you know, just the principles that they taught us and things were very, really good. And I appreciate it. I tell you what, I can truthfully say this, that a huge part, you know, if people are going to pray for their children, if you're not going to discipline them, don't bother praying for them. It doesn't do you any good to pray for your kids if you ain't going to discipline them. You got to do both. You got to do what the Bible says to do, the whole thing, not just part. Everybody today is acting like, well, I'm going to pray and make everything work. It doesn't. There's things we physically got to do. And you know, they aren't always easy to do. You know, I've told before, but it's a good one to have as an example in this teaching because it's being recorded, so maybe somebody else didn't hear it. But Alyssa and Elena started this thing of fussing with each other when they were little. In fact, we were in Oklahoma. They would do this in the car. They would get in this, don't touch me, don't, you know, just do these things. And I'd tell them to knock it off. And they knock it off. And after a while, they'd be back to it. So we're coming home from a Wednesday night church. Wednesday night, we had been at church, and we come home Wednesday night. They start in the car on the way back. We're coming home out at Rhema to our apartment. And they start, and I told them to knock it off, and they went right back at it again. And I just, man, I yelled. I said, I remember we pulled in the park, the car, and I'm sitting there in the car, and I looked at them. I said, you go in the house. I said, I'm fed up with this. This ends now. I said, you go in the house, you go and sit on the sofa. Don't you go do nothing else. You sit on that sofa. I said, I'm going to deal with this when we come in. And I had spanked him for this. I had done things just, I'm sitting there. They got out of the car, Wanda and them went in the house with the girls. And I'm sitting in the car. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, should I just go and kill them now and just bury them out back here somewhere and we'll just get this over with? And I say, Lord, but I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to, because I was mad. And I said, Lord, I want to deal with this with a sane mind. You know, I don't want to steal. So, Lord, what should I do? And inside of me, it just came up, you go in and talk to them. And I said, yeah, and say what? He said, you just go in and talk to them. And I thought, I knew the way he was saying it to me was like, get up, just do this right now. But he wouldn't tell me what to say. So I had to walk by faith. This is one of those things I got to walk by. I have to submit now to him. I walked in the house, walked over, looked at the girls, and I'll tell you what, an anointing came on me. And I took that scripture from Ephesians, obey your parents in the Lord, honor your father and mother, that'll be well with you and you'll live long in the land. I quoted those scriptures. I didn't know why. I just said those scriptures came out of my mouth to them. And I said, you guys keep this up, you're going to shorten your life. I said, you may not live long. I said, God is fed up with you on this. See, people don't tell their kids. The parents don't only get upset, fed up with it. God gets fed up with it, with a child. And the child needs to know they ain't making God happy. People today, oh, God loves you, and no matter how bad you are, God loves you. Yes, he loves you so much, he'll tell his parents to whoop your butt. Because if he don't, he hates you. And I told them that. Now, this is really interesting, because I knew this when it happened, because this had to be God. I never touched them. I just told them point blank, you would have thought I beat them and beat them the way they wailed. They wailed and cried and wailed and cried. And you know what? They didn't do that no more. God got that across to them. Sometime I just ran out of me. I didn't know what to do about it no more. I mean, I'd tried, done what I'd done to correct it. But you know what? If I wouldn't have done what I did, God would never have gotten involved in it. If I had dealt with what things and I hadn't dealt with them on it, this is why people, they want God to get involved with what they will not get involved with. You've got to learn that. You're going to have to do that. Just obey what the Word says. And that's what people need to learn to do. We're not killing our children. You know, we're not beating them. I never slapped my kids in the head and smacked them in the face and doing stuff and punched them or anything. We never did that. And see, people always use that, oh, well, people abuse their child. People don't abuse their child spanking them. You know, these children, that stuff, get injured and broken arms, that don't come from spanking. They ain't spanking people, you know. They're doing weird stuff. They're, you know, they're crazy. So they turn around and end up all punishment because somebody's an idiot, so you stop all good because somebody was an idiot. You know, it's like a child choked on a piece of food and died, so never feed your child again. So they die of starvation, but we aren't going to let them die choking. And that's what they've done. The children destroy the children's lives. Not following the Word of God. And follow it correctly. Proverbs 20, chapter 29 has something to say about this too. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, the rod and sharp words, verse 15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So the rod and rebuke give wisdom. So there's two things. Using and rebuking a child. Yeah. Well, don't say anything that upsets. We don't want to lose their little psyche. Don't yell at them. Well, the Bible doesn't say it. It says rebuke them. Then you know, the Bible tells us a minister is supposed to rebuke the people. Boy, we that left the church. Don't rebuke them. Don't ever tell nobody they're doing that. It says the rod, but he said, because why? A child left to himself. A child that is not spanked or rebuked is left to himself. What's he going to do? He's going to bring shame to his mother. Boy, don't you see that? In the Bible, in basic English, says that scripture in verse 15, says the rod and sharp words give wisdom, but a child who is not guided is a cause of shame to his mother. So a rod and sharp words give wisdom. But if this child, you don't guide a child, and really, with a rod and sharp words is used to guide a child. So see, education is not just teaching kids reading, writing, arithmetic. A child will gain wisdom through spanking and sharp words. And they're going to need it. There is no child, nobody's child is not going to need sharp words sometimes and a spanking. Everybody's child is going to need it. There's no kid that listens that well. I remember some things with Braden. I remember one time it's him. I talked to him about a certain thing a couple of times because he's really little and don't do that. And I talked to him about it again later on. Pulled it again. I grabbed him and whacked his butt. He was the most startled kid you ever seen in your life. He froze and just looked at me. And I said, Braden, we'll never talk about that again.
never did it again. Startled him. The rebuke and the swat helped him. Sometimes you got to do that.
One of the things, and I found this is really, I was glad in learning this from in the teaching that we had with Keith Moore, because I saw the benefit of it later on in life, because our kids were little, and when we were at Rhema, and especially like with Elena. Elena was little there, you know, and she in first grade, that great stuff. It says, he said, as soon as possible, wean your child off you and onto the Holy Spirit. Begin to wean. See, this is one of the greatest problems, see, as I find out. Most parents never wean their child off of them spiritually. They spiritually try to carry the child most of their life. Kids are in their teens in school and then in their 20s in college, and they're still trying to control and believe for their healings and believe for this for their kid and that for their kid. They're always trying to do it, and they never teach their child to handle it themselves. And the children just grow up spiritually handicapped. I see that in youth all the time in churches, where youth never grow up spiritually. They don't, and then what they do is they go off in life and they never grow up spiritually. We learned, Wanda and I, having a youth group and teaching spiritual principles and how well young people can pick these things up and learn how to handle things. We literally had our youth in the church that I was in and was a youth leader. Our youth group, while Wanda and I were involved in that youth group, were actually, in a numbers of ways, more spiritual than their parents and how to do things spiritually because they were taught it. But their parents were lots of times their problem of why they didn't understand and know things spiritually. Because their parents, you know, they were always, you know, wrong thing, wrong teaching, you know. Like, you end up being their God. You take care of everything, and you don't. You teach your kids to trust God. I used to tell Liz and Lane all the time they're little, your daddy ain't going to always be here in life to do things for you. You need to learn to trust God, and so you can believe God. I'm not going to be here. I'm not always going to be around. You're going to grow up. You're going to have your own family. The things daddy ain't going to be able to handle nor do anymore. You know, my daughters are under submission authority to their husbands, not to their daddy anymore. There's things that they have to be able to understand and do. I can't do it for them anymore. I can't do that because we're not in submission. They're old enough that they have to take authority themselves now. They got to do that. And they, you know, at home. We had the thing with Elena. And I've always told the story, you know, I sent Elena home from school. And Elena's only like 10, 11 years old. And she had fallen and hit her elbow in gym. And it had been swollen and stuff. And they didn't know if there was any kind of bone. Well, they sent her right home from school. They called us right away and that stuff. The nurse taking it, whether we wanted to take her to the hospital or what we wanted to do. But they had her arm in a sling. And I remember she came home. And so I sat down and talked to her about this thing, what she wanted to do. I said about what she wanted to do. I said, now, we can do one of two things. I said, because she had seen many times divine healing in her home. She saw things take place. I said, well, you can go one of two ways. I said, do you want to go to the doctor, or do you want to believe God, be healed? Well, she said, Dad, I want to be healed. Well, the Lord spoke this, and then the Lord said to me, don't you pray for her. He said, she knows how to believe me. He said, now you can agree with her, but she has to believe. She knows how to do it, and she needs to do that. He said, you're not going to be able to do that. She knows how. Now just think of that age. She knows how. My God, I run into Christians all the time and are older. People have been spirit-filled for years, can't do it. He said, she knows how to do it. Well, see, most people, they love to be dependent on something else and something, and not learn. We taught an independence our child to believe. So I remember it was back in where my office is, was her bedroom, and we went in her bedroom and sat down, and I told her what the Lord said to me, that I can't pray for her. I can agree with her. But she's going to have to pray and believe it, and I'll join my faith with hers. She said, okay. So I said, well, what scriptures are you standing on? And she told me what she wanted to stand on. So I said, good. And I said, you pray the prayer of faith, and I'll agree with you on it. So she prayed the prayer of faith, took a couple minutes, and she prayed, and we were done, and I said, now, no, this is what we need to do. I said, let's thank God it's finished. He's doing it. I said, let's just take some time here. And we sat there probably for 5-10 minutes just praising the Lord, thanking him, Elaine is healed, and appreciation of it. And I'll never forget, I came out here, sitting down in the living room. She was still back in her room, had her arm in a sling. And her arm was swollen. There was a bruise spot on it, you know. And so I come out here sitting probably about 15, no more. I don't know if it was even 20 minutes. I think it was maybe about 15 minutes at the most. She come walking out here and she said, "Dad, look at my arm." She says, "Completely healed." She's moving her arm. All the swelling was gone. She had about a quarter size bruise mark. That was all was there. And her arm was completely moved. No pain, nothing whatsoever. She did that. But I was glad that we had been taught in Bible school about weaning, and I learned. We made a real effort to teach them how to believe God, teaching them how to do this stuff, teaching them that they could trust God, they could use their faith. And so, you know, they're not, so they don't end up just being dependent on us. That becomes really the huge, huge, great problem. Because kids don't learn that. They don't learn to submit to their and to yield to their own spirits. They only listen to you know, whatever their parents and their parents are leading them to. So we lean them off there to doing that. So just in closing here, though, I do want to talk about, because you don't always help. Number one, you're not going to always help your children or people in general. You're not going to always help. And Keith Moore said this, and I found it to be true: helping people, making it easy on them. See, lots of times we want to use our faith to make it easy on people, and we don't want to do that. God wasn't looking at making it easy on Elena. He's going to teach her something. See, He wants to train her too. He wants her trained to trust Him. And too many parents, they keep their kids on them all the time. You teach your children not to be quitters. You teach, you know, there's the things you have to teach children, not to be quitters. You don't let kids quit things. Too many parents let kids start things and they don't want to do it, and they just go, they buy them stuff and then they don't ever use it. Don't do that. You teach your kids to be quitters. That was one of the things I learned at H.B. Reese Camping Company, and I'd asked the Lord why these people, a bunch of people accepted the Lord during the time when I didn't. Within a year, loads of them are just pretty well back over in the flesh of things, and they don't really do much of following God. I said, "What's going on?" He talked to me about people coming from weak-willed families. He said, they're raised under weak-willed families. They've been taught and trained. Their parents never set course and stayed on course and never walked anything. They always would do something for a while and quit. And then he said, and then they trained their children to be like that. And he said, they haven't been taught and trained now since they got born again, so they do the same thing. You know, this was fun following God for a little bit of while, but now, you know, it's back over to the regular. And he said, because I asked him, "Well, why am I following?" He said, "You weren't raised that way. Your parents didn't let you get away with it. Your parents taught you that you were supposed to do stuff and stay on it. And they taught you that, you know, you just don't quit because times get hard. You don't do it." See, and I stopped and looked. I thought, oh, yeah. See, and that's what happens many times in people. That's why some people don't. I see some people, and Christians are always in and out of trouble all the time, and I find out to them, they have never disciplined themselves. Now, you get to a certain age, you have to decide to discipline yourself because nobody else is going to do it. You know, you can't sit all the time under somebody else and do it. That's one of the things God started Teen Challenge was people would go to those courses for a year, get people under a course for at least a year. You can't put somebody in something for a few months and get them to, because they'll quit it. After a few months, they get out. That ain't enough time. There's some people, you need to take them. That's one of the things like military training that was good for sometimes people in discipline because they would put people in and they'd have to go in there 2 or 3 years and stay under discipline for 2 or 3 years to learn to discipline themselves. Then you could let them go and they'd live a disciplined life. But you can't do it. You can't send somebody to classes, to school. And it's just like church. You can't somebody to church and just learn this. You have to have somebody over somebody for a disciplined life. There's some people, if somebody ain't over, they ain't going to do it unless somebody makes them do it. It's just that easy. You're not done. You can tell them the right thing. They ain't going to do it. They have to be made to do it because they're just like little children. A child, you make them do it. There's people, adults, if nobody makes them do it, they ain't going to do it. That's why 86.6% end up back in jail again because they don't, in jail, they're not disciplined. They're just made to put behind bars, but they talk all kind of craziness, do all kind of craziness anyhow. All the craziness still goes on. But they're not forced to do anything. They're not forced over a long period of time. And people need to be. That's one thing as a military. See, I was born and raised from the time as a child was forced by my parents to obey. Well, then I learned that and how to do it. Well, if you don't, or people aren't taught that, they're not going to get a hold of that. Now, we didn't in Ephesians 6:4. I'm going to close with this. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now, provoking your children to wrath. Now, I've heard people teach a lot of different things on that stuff of what that means. Oh, don't provoke your... Well, now, don't over-discipline that. Well, you could be... But it's not talking about that. It doesn't provoke your children to wrath. What does it have in provoking your children? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You've got to be consistent. One of the things that causes children problems and children turn around and get provoked, it's the person who has said 47 times, don't do that, and has done nothing. And then get so mad, then they punish the child. That inconsistency provokes a child to wrath. Why, you done let them do it 47 times. Why now? Is it wrong? Those people are the problem people, not the person. We have less problems with over-discipline, under-discipline than we do over-discipline. The inconsistency, the reason, and you know, my father, he didn't provoke us to wrath because he dealt with it right away. He didn't provoke us. We knew right away what was wrong with Dad not to do what you did. That was easy. And his dealing with it. He didn't provoke us to wrath. He was consistent in how he dealt with us. He never undermined his confidence that we had in him. We knew what Dad would do. We knew it. But you know what? In ways, my mom undermined her confidence with us because of not being consistent about certain things. And it undermined confidence for me as young growing up were things I didn't pay attention to my mom. My dad, I knew better. But mom, we had that one time between Wanda and I, disciplining kids. And I said to her, I said, do they do these things when I'm around? She said, no. I said, well, then who's the problem here? I said, it is because what you do is you tell them, I'm telling Daddy when he comes home. I said, they know they can get away with it with you. You won't deal with it. And I said, so they don't respect you. I said, they respect me. And I said, I ain't dealing with it. I said, if you don't deal with them on it, don't you tell me about it. I said, if you punish them and they still do it, you let me know. They wish they went to be with Jesus. But I said, if you haven't disciplined them, don't you tell me anything about it. You're the problem. I said, you need to deal with them. Well, she started dealing with them. It changed. She wanted to be this nice, I just don't want to do that. I said, they don't need the whooping you do. You're hurting them. You're causing them a problem. Well, they learned. But I wouldn't. I won't. If she ain't going to discipline them, I ain't going to discipline them. They don't like her. That's her problem. It's not mine. They don't show her respect. Well, she won't. But what she was doing, she was provoking them to wrath. She was provoking them through not dealing with them on things so they could just go ahead and do stuff. So then when they would get disciplined, see, she wanted Daddy to discipline them. That way, Daddy's the bad guy. I'm not. Daddy's the hard guy. My mom didn't. When she did discipline it, she didn't have to tell Dad. She did. She made it good. Oh, praise God. We'll close there on that. But those are places, especially people today, need to learn in the areas of disciplining concerning their children. But it does, you know, and it is. I found out, like with our kids, it is not hard when they're young and you deal with them right away. It can be easy raising a child. And I see people who don't, and the terror that they go through. What people go through in their homes because they don't obey what's true, the truth. And I'm going to tell you what, I found out obeying the truth, and it works. It does work. And what happens is we have children now who have grown up, and they are disciplined. They live disciplined life. They aren't ones not working, always want their parents to take care of them, give them stuff all the time because they don't work half the time. And they got to be taken care of like today. Oh, my words. My God. Parents taking care of their kids and their families and that stuff. I mean, we have today, my words, grandparents raising their grandkids because they're... But you know, they say they feel sorry for these mamas. Well, I don't, because these mamas wouldn't have had this trouble with their kids if they would have raised them right. But they raise kids undisciplined, then what they do? Further undisciplined, take their children out of there, then take their responsibilities that they don't take. If I had to take my grandkids and raise them, I would only do it under one circumstance, is my daughters would have to give up all rights to the children, and they would never see them again. I'd tell them, you ain't seeing them no more. You forget it. You don't care for your children in that way. You don't want them around. We don't need your influence in their lives. You see these people, and the kids are still, and the parents, and the mama comes home, and I'll say, we have people in around this place, they do that. And that stuff. Grandparents are raising the kids, and then the parents come and visit them and stuff, and they wouldn't come visit my house. My words, I'd bury them in the backyard. Bunch of bums. But that's what the problem is. See, there's never been a discipline down through in life. Always a using. Always using people. Always. And see, you don't want to do that. See, it goes from generation to generation to generation. You'd cut that out. You know, I got to, you know, concerning is dealing with submission. I have to do that even with my family. I have to do things that there's lines that I don't cross, or things going over into my kids' families, and there's stuff that I don't want them crossing over into. I'm not taking care of their problems. That ain't my job. Take care of their problems. They got to learn to do it. They ain't gonna learn nothing if I'm gonna be the God. When they get in trouble, I'm just gonna go take care of it. They ain't gonna learn nothing. Can't do that. You know, they have to learn to take care of stuff themselves. As you don't cross certain lines, because it causes nothing but trouble. Nothing but problems for people. And it's not always the easy thing to do. It's always not the fun thing to do. But I've learned over the years, it's the right thing to do. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you today as we've looked into these things, Father, that you give us wisdom. And Father, I pray for anybody who listens to these. And Lord God, I pray that people come across these. You influence angels, Lord God, in these areas for people would come across and listen to these things, Father God. It would help them immensely in their lives. Lord God, if they learn these things, and especially for, Lord God, in families today with young children, Lord God, if people learn these things early, what blessed lives that people can live. And Lord God, they don't turn around and later in life it's just so miserable and horrible to live in. Father God, Lord God, so much easier to learn it early. But Lord God, I pray that people would listen to these things, and even if people haven't learned them or begin to submit to you, Lord God, in your word, and begin to practice them in their lives, Lord God, Lord, because it surely will bless the lives of the hearer and the doer of the word. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.